Hey, thanks so much, Caleb. Well, we are on the other side of the bridge today in my shed as we continue our series through Galatians. Today we're jumping into Galatians 6, so get your Bibles ready. Here we go.
Galatians 6, 1-5. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. For we are each responsible for our own conduct.
Hey, thanks for that, Jono. Well, listen to Paul's opening remark in that chapter. I love it. He says, dear brothers and sisters. And in other versions, he uses the words dear family. But in either way, there's such a warmth to it. And already it's really different to the tone maybe that it's been set by the teachers of the religious law in this town of Galatia, where they were busy making rules on how to be a little bit more spiritual or how to reach the gold standard of what it meant to be Christian. But Paul isn't chiming in as some spiritual giant, not as some elite Christian, but as a brother. And as a friend, as family. I love his tone, and it sets a great tone for our time today. I love Paul's humility. And so it's in that spirit of humility, at the beginning of chapter 6, where Paul writes in with this instruction to restore one another and to carry one another's burdens. It's this idea that if we're struggling with something, or a friend or a brother or sister is struggling with something or trapped in sin, that we have the privilege of helping one another out, not pointing one another out. Like, after all, isn't that what family is for? We care for one another, love and serve one another. In fact, that's how Paul says to the Galatians, this is how you start to fulfill the law. That's how you live God's word. It's such great practical advice. Now, I love to work on different projects out in my shed here. It's pretty messy, and there's a work in progress pretty much everywhere you look. Whether it's my daughter's pram, wheels have come off, that's needed fixing for a while now, or that's my car, or finally fixing my bike and getting it back on the road. But I know in amongst all of it, the biggest work in progress in this shed is always me. It's always something to work on. Trusting God in that process. I know it's His Spirit alive in me that empowers me to live the way that I know God wants me to actually live His Word, to be that gentleness, that kindness, as we read about in Paul's instruction at the start of chapter 6. It's a good thing. I know that finally, one day when I meet Jesus, I'll know the fullness of that salvation and that redemptive work in my life. But until then, like Paul and like you, I'm a work in progress, and that's okay. We can do that joyfully and expectantly. After all, we really need each other, don't we? I can remember Jesus' words where he said, I haven't come into this world to point an accusing finger. I've come to set things right. And so if we lean into God's Spirit working in us and through us continually, it's God who's going to bring together His church in such a powerful way. It's Him continually setting things right in us and through us. Our lives are redeemed together. We walk it together, hand in hand, helping, serving, and empowering one another as we go. And so in all of this, hopefully by living more in tune and more in step with God's Spirit, day by day, we're becoming a little bit more like Jesus every day as well. It's these incremental improvements that are making all the difference over time. And Paul uses the illustration of of reaping and sowing what we reap. That the things that we plant will in time grow up around us and we'll find ourselves in the midst of it. There's a great quote that goes just like this. It says, if we can sow a thought, we'll reap an act. If we sow an act, we reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a character. And if we sow a character, we reap a destiny. I love that journey, the idea of those little things growing up to be those big and powerful things in our lives. And Paul actually says, sow to God's Spirit the good things in step with what God's doing, in step with His Word and in company with Him in prayer, with God's Spirit leading us hand in hand. Don't sow to the flesh those selfish desires. They end up crumbling around us, leading to decay. There's a really great illustration that I want to share. It's a story about a cycling team, in fact, the British cycling team. And it's a powerful illustration of the incremental changes we can make in life toward these really big outcomes. And it was a long time ago, and the British cycling team at this point in time had really been mediocre for 100 years or more. It's a long time. It had been a long, long time since anyone had come close to winning the Tour de France, or they'd really come close to any sort of reasonable victory or place in the other cycling events. And this new coach comes on board with this philosophy that if he can just make little 1% improvements in different areas within the team or on the bikes, that they'd add up to this really big change in the long run. And so they set about this process of making little marginal gains. Things like testing different fabrics in wind tunnels, like wearing heated shorts to get their muscle temperature like just right, like using glue on their tires so that they stick a little bit better to the road. But they don't stop there. They hire a surgeon to teach the cyclists how to wash their hands so that they don't get sick as much. They test different pillows so that the cyclists sleep better and so that they perform better. And within 5 years, the British cycling team become a force to be reckoned with, winning event after event after event, and actually sweeping up the vast majority of the medals across the board in all of the cycling events. It's a real powerful image that if we'll take on board this idea of day by day leaning into God's Spirit, putting into practice the things we know will just help us become that little bit more like Jesus. Practically be that little bit kinder. The things that we can wash up in our own life to make a little bit cleaner or better. Sow of God's Spirit and we'll reap everlasting life. This is Paul's encouragement to the church. We're going to go to Craig and the team now to spend a little bit of time reflecting on Paul's message to the Galatians today. God's message, in fact, to us. It's a practical invitation to be continually transformed and renewed to the likeness of Christ. So lean in, find space in the lyrics, and I'll be back soon.
You make all things new. You mend the broken that come to you. And it's beautiful. You take the dark and you make the light. You find the dying and breathe new life. And it's beautiful. And so I will live, if only to bring you praise. Now and for all my days, the chains of my sin you've broken with love. And I will live forever because you died. So my Savior be glorified. You've given a promise sealed in your blood, and so it's never to be undone. It's never to be undone. You take the lost and you lead them home. You melt the hardest hearts of stone. It's beautiful. You take the hopeless and make a way. You find the rejected so you can say, but oh, that they're beautiful. And so I will live, if only to bring you praise.
Thanks so much, Craig and the team. We're really grateful for how you lead us in worship each week. Well, as Paul closes this letter, it's really a practical edge to the whole chapter that's come before. He's done with talking through who's more spiritual, who's more right, who's done the best practices and lived the most Christian-looking life on the outside. He's saying, let's get to being transformed on the inside. Let's work together. Let's help one another out. And so the question is, where are you sowing? What are you growing? What are the incremental changes that you and I can make so that we can live more like Jesus every day? Like, that's what the world needs, for us to come together as that family. And so brothers, sisters, friends, we're in it together. God's redeemed us, set us free, and we get to live this full life, loving God and serving others. Thanks so much for joining today. It's been a privilege to share God's word. We really look forward to hearing from Tim next week as he rounds out this book of Galatians as part of this series. Bye for now.